This is the Word of God found in Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 through 27. Numbers 6, 22 through 27. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, On this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. This was given by God through Moses to Israel while they were still encamped around Mount Sinai. The last half of the book of Exodus, the entire book of Leviticus, and the first half of the book of Numbers are all while the children of Israel are camped around Mount Sinai. In Numbers, you'll find the children of Israel leaving that area around Mount Sinai, around Numbers 10, chapter 10, chapter 11, and heading toward the land of Canaan. So this is near the end of their stay at Mount Sinai. And God tells Moses to tell his brother, big brother, Aaron, and Aaron's sons. So this is a command specifically to the priests, because that's who would function as priest around the new tabernacle they had just built, was Aaron and his sons and his son's sons. They would be the priest. And there was a specific blessing the priest were to bless the children of Israel with, and this is the way it went. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. This was to be spoken by the priests that God had ordained to the people that he had chosen in a physical sense, which was Israel. Now today, we live in a day when that principle has been enlarged, fulfilled, and expanded. The people of God are no longer just one particular nation descended from the man Jacob, but we find that Israel is a spiritual people chosen by God from before the foundation of the world out of every nation upon the earth. That is Israel today in a spiritual sense. Oh, I'm glad there's still a natural Israel and a country over there whose capital is at Jerusalem. And I'm glad because I'm glad to see some democracy and some representative government and free economy in that part of the world. I think it provides a help there. But Israel in a spiritual, biblical sense now, as revealed in the New Testament, is a people chosen by God from every nation on the earth. They're his people, chosen by God the Father in Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world. Their sins are paid for by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, hanging on the cross in the darkness. And they will, during their lifetime, be born again by the Spirit of God. And as a result, they will be glorified in heaven when God comes to raise the dead at the last day. So God has a people. They're designated by the term Israel spiritually. And today, this people has a priest as well. As a matter of fact, they have been all made kings and priests unto God, washed in the blood of Christ. But they, as priests and kings, have a king of kings and a high priest, and that high priest is the one who died and rose again for them, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is their high priest. And his blessing upon them has aspects even greater than the blessing that Aaron and his sons were to bless the nation of Israel with. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. Do you know God blessed you, one of the members of spiritual Israel, you child of God. He blessed you before the foundation of the world. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. Do you think the Lord will lose any of those that he chose before the foundation of the world? Let me tell you, the Bible says that he will not. He keeps them. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." There it is, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. We find in the book of John, that was John chapter 10. In John chapter 6, he said, "I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but to do the will of him which has sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all that he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again the last day." He blesses you and keeps you. In Romans chapter 8, Paul says, "For I'm persuaded that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor things present, nor things to come, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." The Lord bless thee and keep thee. God keeps you. You're kept by his mighty power. You are preserved by God in Jesus Christ. And so the high priest blesses spiritual Israel. The high priest, Jesus Christ, blesses you, child of God, saying, "The Lord," speaking of himself, "the Lord bless thee and keep thee." Jesus Christ is keeping you. We just sung the Fanny Crosby hymn, "Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast. Sweetly my soul shall find rest." I didn't get the whole verse, but there you're kept by God who blesses you. "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee." Remember when Jesus Christ appeared before James and John and Peter there? And he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the noonday sun. And upon his hand, right hand and left hand appeared Moses and Elijah. And he spoke to them concerning his death, which he should accomplish in Jerusalem. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to earth as the Son of Man, transfigured. He made his face to shine upon his disciples there. And today, he still makes his face shine upon you. And is he gracious to you? Oh, yes. That life that he gave you by laying down his own life on the cross, both physically and in the sense of God's justice, as he was made to be sin for us, he has been gracious to us. That's why we are in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Because he has been gracious to us. He's made his face to shine upon us. He's been gracious to us. "The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee." There, God, the Holy Spirit, has looked upon you and entered you, not by your permission, but by God's commandment. And that's what enables you to mourn over your sins, hunger and thirst after righteousness. That's what even enables you to love. He's lifted up his countenance upon you, and he has indwelled you. Christ in you, the hope of glory, the Holy Spirit of God has caused you to be regenerated. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Do you know, when the Lord Jesus Christ died, when he said it is finished, when he finished paying for all your sins, child of God, this is a truth. From that moment, by that work alone, God had peace with you. Now, does that mean he approves of everything you do, say, and think? Absolutely not. Does that mean that he doesn't chastise you as a child for doing wrong? Absolutely not. He does chastise us. He does express his disapproval of things that we do, say, think sometimes. His chastisement can be pretty severe sometimes, can it not? Yes, it's very severe at times. But does he have peace that is a solid, lasting peace with his children so that he will never cast them away, never give them up? Yes, he has peace with his children. Do we as his children living here in this world always have peace with him? No. No. Let's be honest. And yet, there is peace available to you as his child. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And before I sit down, that's what I want to talk about. You, child of God, having peace with God. God has peace with you. There's nothing that you could do or need to do in order to cause God to have peace with you. Jesus Christ achieved that peace for you. God is at peace with you. He is satisfied with the offering of his Son. By one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. But this man, after he had offered one offering for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Jesus Christ is our propitiation. The propitiation means he is our satisfaction unto God. God is satisfied with you. He has peace with you because of the work of Jesus Christ. But I want more than that for you. I want more than that for me. I want me and you to have peace with God. Because that's something wonderful to have in this life. Peace of mind is highly valuable. I wish more people realized that, and I wish more people possessed that peace of mind. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Living in this world, in this generation, in this day and age, I think a lot of God's children are not at peace. You know, especially if you're frequent consumers of television news, you probably have very little peace. Now, I realize that there is a benefit to staying informed to some degree, but let me advise you, stop consuming television news. If you want to, if you just have to, make it once a week. Give yourself 4 days a week during the week with some time off to think upon God's goodness, because a lot of that news is slanted, a lot of it is false, and a lot of it is meant to stir you up and to deny you peace. Let it go. Consider the good news that lasts forever and is true and unadulterated fact that God has peace with you through the Lord Jesus Christ. But we want to have peace with him, and the Bible tells us some ways that help us to have peace with him. One of them is a scripture I've gone to over and over again, particularly in my adult life, because there have been times in my life when I just didn't have peace. And this scripture just seems to be one that thankfully has entered into my memory. And I want it to enter into your memory too. It's Isaiah 26:3-4. And it says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." Those of you that are looking along with me and have a Bible with the center reference, I love the center reference alternate translations there, which are totally in accord with the translation written. But it says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace." The perfect peace says, peace, peace. "Thou wilt keep him in peace, peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." It says, whose thought or imagination. "Thou wilt keep him in peace, peace, whose thought and imagination is stayed upon thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. And I looked over for the alternate translation of everlasting strength in verse 4, and it says, is the rock of ages. If I were to give you the center reference alternate translation, it would be, thou will keep him in peace, peace, whose imagination is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is the rock of ages. Now, both translations are beautiful and in harmony, and they both add to each other. They don't correct each other or detract from each other. But I want you to consider that. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. That means if you can grab hold of your mind, you may think this is hard, but it is doable. I have done it before. If you can grab hold of your mind and fix it, stay it on the living God, he will keep you in peace. The few times I've done this feebly and imperfectly, I've just tried to lay still and think of the miracles that Jesus Christ did. Of him spitting in the dirt and anointing that man's eyes with clay. The man washing and coming out of that pool seeing when he had never seen before. Think about the Lord touching the man's tongue, putting his fingers in his ears and saying, Ephphatha, which means be opened. And the string of his tongue was loosed. The man could speak. The man could hear. Think about the Lord coming to the leper who came to him and said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And the Lord didn't run from him unclean or say, you ought to be declaring and keeping your distance. The Lord touched him and said, I will be thou cleansed. And his leprosy was gone. Think about the Lord standing in the graveyard saying, Lazarus, come forth. Instead of the stench of decomposition that had come forth from the tomb of Lazarus, there came forth, rather, Lazarus, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and the Lord said, loose him and let him go. I don't know. Just thinking of those things, which are absolutely true. This is not fiction, fairy tale. This is truth. These miracles really happened. Jesus of Nazareth really did them. This is more solid history than was ever written by Herodotus or Suetonius or Tacitus or Erasmus or certainly more true than Howard Zinn, which history is just a crummy slant. This is true, real history. Jesus Christ gave sight to the blind. He gave hearing to the deaf. He gave cleansing to the leper. He gave life to the dead. He preached the gospel to the poor. It is fact. It is history. It is true. And I take my mind and I stay it on that history. And the God whom this was the son of. And you know, often I'll find myself waking up from a good nap. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. There's a good discipline for me and for you to learn. Learn to fix our thought on the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's not all. John 16:33, the Lord Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, speaking to his disciples. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now then, the Lord there told them they were going to have tribulation in this world. That's the nature of this world. He told them that he had overcome the world, which he did when he said it is finished. When he rose again and said, all power is given me in heaven and earth. The Lord Jesus Christ has indeed overcome the world. Is just not apparent yet, but it will be. He's overcome the world. But remember the first part of what he said to his disciples. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. What has he given them for peace? He has spoken unto them His words. The words of God are given to help you have peace. Jesus Christ said His words were going to be everlasting, didn't He? He said, "Verily I say unto you, heaven and earth shall pass away, but My words shall not pass away." In Isaiah, this was prophesied. The glory of man fadeth as a flower of the field. As the grass withereth, so the glory of man fadeth away. But the word of our God shall last forever. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ gave us His words that we might have peace in Him. So now you've got two things. One way to have peace in the Lord Jesus Christ is to stay your mind on Him. And He's given us His words to help us stay our mind on Him. But that's not all. Over in the book of Philippians, Paul writes something else about helping us to have peace. It's familiar scripture to you. It's found in Philippians chapter 4. And Paul says, starting in verse 6, "Be careful for nothing." That means be anxious for nothing. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Whenever you feel worry coming on, switch it to prayer. Try to stop worrying and try to start praying. You say, "I can't just turn off that worry." No, but you can turn on the prayer and see if it doesn't crowd out the worry. You know, David said in Psalm 56, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee, O Lord." David didn't say, "You know, I'm just so brave. Look, I killed Goliath. You know, I killed the lion. I killed the bear. I'm just so brave that fear doesn't bother me." He didn't say that. Writing by the Holy Spirit, writing totally honestly, he said, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee, O Lord." David was a man, and I get scared. A lion is scary. A bear is scary. Goliath was scary. Being a subject, a target for assassins is scary. It's all scary. What time I'm scared, Lord, I'll trust in You. I'll trust in You. And here we've got something similar. Be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. You say, "I just can't do that. I get anxious. I get worried." I know it. I'm not telling you never be worried, never be anxious. But when you feel that anxiety coming on, when that worry creeps up, start to pray. So the Lord's given us something else to help us stay our mind on Him. He's given us prayer. And when you pray, it says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication." Prayer means talking to God. Supplication means begging God. And then it says, "But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving." So our prayers ought to be some just talking to God, one thing or another. Some we're asking God for things, we're begging. And then there ought to be thanking God for things. If you want to make this conversation full with God, beg Him for some stuff, thank Him for some stuff He's already done and promised to do, just talk to Him and see if that doesn't crowd out some worry. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The Lord bless thee and keep thee." You see, here's three things you do to have peace with God. God has peace with you. Here's three things to have peace with God. Stay your mind upon Him. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Learn and remember His words. "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." And then talk to Him. As you remember His words, give Him your words. "Be careful for nothing, But in everything, by prayer and conversation with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That is, the way to have peace with God is a lifelong, paying close attention, conversation with God. Fix your mind on Him. Listen to what He says in His words. Go to Him and pray with your words. You fix your mind. It's almost like having a conversation with someone when you give them your undivided attention. Now, that happens less and less often in today's society. You know, people will be talking with each other with their cell phones on. I saw a cartoon where the lady was sitting across the table from a man on a date, and she says, "Do you mind if I tape your cell phone to my forehead so I can pretend that you're looking at me?" That's kind of where we are now. We rarely give anyone our undivided attention. If you want peace, then from time to time, in fact, the more often the better, give God your undivided attention. Think about His words. Pray to Him with begging and with thanksgiving. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Lord Jesus Christ said, "Peace I give unto you. My peace give I unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." I want this peace. As a pastor and as a friend, I want this peace for me and for you. And it's there. He's already paid for it. It's available. But you need to do what it takes in order to enjoy it. You need to fix your mind on the Lord. You need to listen to His words. You need to go to Him in prayer and feel and experience and rest in the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless you. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Dear God, thank you for your words. Thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a mind where we can love you with all our heart and mind and soul and strength. Let us stay our minds upon you, O God. Thank you for this people that is gathered here, Lord, these dear loved ones and the loved ones that are watching by means of this digital transmission. Lord God, thy children are all over the world, and you have redeemed them, Lord, by the blood of your only Son. And we pray, your only begotten Son, we pray, dear God, that we would be able to transmit the truth that you do have peace with every one of your children forever because of the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. But, oh God, what a time of trouble is upon this world as we sojourn here. We know this is not our home, Lord. We know that you have a home for us forever. And we know that we are just pilgrims and sojourners here, Lord. We're just passing through. But as we pass through, dear Father, we pray that we would enjoy having peace with you, that we would trust in you, that we would stay our minds upon you, hear your words, and that we would speak often to you. Let us have, Lord, a conversation of undivided attention with you, Lord, and have rest in that. Forgive us our sins, help us to love one another, and thank you for your great grace and mercy and abundant provision for us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.